Hello, welcome back to Answer the Call. I almost said The Called Career. This is Answer the Call, the podcast that is put on by the two employees of The Called Career.
Yeah,
so in case you don't know. The Called Career.
I feel like I should have just called it The Called Career Podcast, but...
No, you know. I love Answer the Call. I think
thank you for the feedback. Yeah. I'm glad. Okay. Mm-hmm. Audrey, yes. What are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about questions that you, the interviewee, should be asking the interviewer. So flipping the script. And this is actually a really important episode because a lot of people don't think prior to the interview. They don't think about what questions they're going to ask. Then it gets to the end. Interviewer prompts them, oh, do you have any questions for us? You panic and you just ask something general like, are you in office 3 days a week or 2 days a week?
That's good. I think it's a really good thing that most people are aware, I feel, at this point, that asking nothing is a bad indicator of, you know, employers want you to be curious and want to see how you're thinking. And also, it's kind of good to not be just such an easy hire, you know, like, hey, I have a question for you before I say yes. So luckily, most people are aware that you have to ask at least one question, but you're right. Sometimes it does kind of come out as like such a basic thing that it's necessary, perhaps, because you may be really curious about their hybrid or remote or in-office situation. Fairly so, but it's good to also ask something that shows more of a critical thinking element that shows that you're really evaluating if you're the best person for the role and if this company is the best for you. So that's why we have really pored over these questions and refined them over the years, and they're my favorite. I have gotten such good feedback from clients who say that their interviewers stop literally in a one client had a panel interview, and she said all three people looked at each other and said, wow, that's a really good question. Not the that's a good question, like as a, almost like a modern way to stutter before you actually answer. They actually were complimenting her, like, wow, I love that you asked that. And they were super impressed. And so the kind of questions that you ask tell them about the kind of professional you are. And I look forward to hearing from all of y'all how your interviews go even better as you take some of these from our list and put them onto yours. So, Audrey, yes. Before we just share, I think the 16 or so that we have, I know that we had a couple points of the difference between first round interview questions with maybe a phone screening with a recruiter versus questions that you could ask of a hiring manager and a couple other things you wanted to share. So I'll give it to you.
Yes. So as you are listening to this podcast, you probably already know, you've probably been in your job search a little bit, or maybe you're just starting out, but a lot of times it's not uncommon, and it's seeming to become more common to have a recruiter screening before you actually talk to the hiring manager. And that's exactly, I mean, the name, it's in the title. It's a screening. It's not an opportunity really to ask the detailed questions. They're just trying to make sure that you are a good enough candidate to have that detailed conversation with the hiring manager and that everyone's on the same page about what this role is and what kind of candidates they're looking for. So we did want to include a couple questions for this because, like we said, it's a really common step of the hiring process, and you're definitely going to run into it. So when you're talking to the recruiter, a couple questions that you can ask to learn more about the position before you go into the interview and allow yourself to be a little bit more prepared and feel a little bit more confident going into it as well. Talking to the recruiter, you can ask, you know, I'd love to know a little bit more about the purpose and background of this position. Why is the position open? Is it out of new demand and growth in the team? Is it because someone got let go? You don't need to ask all these questions. This is just a bunch of different ways to ask the same question.
Why is it open? Why is this position open now? Is actually really helpful. You would get some detail that could actually give you more of a flavor for the company and what's going on behind closed doors than you would maybe initially think.
Yeah. And it gives you a leg to stand on in the interview too. If it's open because they just did a whole restructuring, of the organization, that's really good information to have going into it to even just anticipate the kind of questions you're going to get. Or you can say something like, I know that you just did restructuring, blah, 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 blah. And that, I mean, the serotonin probably that the hiring manager will have by you just coming in with the tiniest bit of knowledge is really beneficial to you. So a basic why is this open and allows you to understand more about the position before going into the interview with the hiring manager. And then on top of that, actually getting to know who the hiring manager is really helpful. And so you can just ask the recruiter, essentially, what is the hiring manager like? Can you tell me a little bit about their leadership style, preferences, and their expectations for this role, as well as your sense for what the culture is like in this group? And that doesn't mean that you need to already freak yourself out if you're going to fit in or if it's going to be a good situation or whatever. You still have a lot to uncover in that. But again, it just gives you a little bit more information going into the call or into the interview with the hiring manager to understand maybe what their preferences are in terms of their leadership style and exactly what they are expecting out of the candidate in this role.
And you might get, just of the million responses you could get, one of them could be, they're a really great manager, always good feedback from that team, low turnover, but don't be thrown off by their hard exterior in interviews.
Yeah.
Something like that. So every once in a while, you'll get a recruiter that says, you know, I don't know to any of these questions, and that's totally fine. No worries. But if they do know, they'll usually pass along helpful information.
Yeah. All right. So after that, after you have the information going into the interview, you want to listen to these next questions that we have and pick out the ones that you think are going to be the most beneficial in the interview that you're going into for your specific role. Also ones that fit with your personality, are genuinely interesting to you.
Yeah, that's and the first thing. Aside from our list, the best question to ask is the one you're genuinely curious to know.
Yes.
Always. That's literally the first question to ask.
And hopefully, you know, a few of these a few of the questions we have on this list at least are going to be ones that you are genuinely wanting to know. But I'm sure if you just sit down and just think about the role and think about what you actually will be doing from day to day, the tasks involved, you'll be able to come up with something. And if you don't know how to word it, one of these questions can help you word it in a new way. Okay, so we have three different categories that we are going to look at questions in, I guess would be the way to say that. First of all, it's just basic information that you're looking to gather. And then second is a little bit more intentionally looking for information to use in future interviews and presentations that come along in the hiring process. And then finally, management styles. You can understand more about your manager and the team overall.
Woohoo!
Okay, so with basic information, first and foremost, my favorite question, I say it to everyone, everyone needs to ask this question as early as possible in the interview, as early as natural, I suppose, in the interview, possible and natural, somewhere in between there.
That's a good way to put it.
Because if it's natural, it might never come up, but you definitely want to push for it to come up earlier. And that question is, what would make the difference between doing a good job and a great job in this role or an excellent job in this role? And again, I'm just going to repeat it. What would make the difference between doing a good job and a great job in this role? The reason that this question is so important is that when they describe what a great job, what someone who's doing a great job in this role would be doing, they are giving you all the answers. All the answers that you need to share in your answers for the rest of the interview to explain why you're doing a great job for this role. And then also, Kelsey, this is something that I heard you explain once. When they're explaining what would be great about this role, they're actually starting to associate you with those qualities because they're talking to you about it. So if you want to get some psychological trickery in there.
I feel like in Christian dating advice, it's like, don't ask the what qualities are you looking for in your future spouse question because too early, because then you'll start getting heart eyes and like maybe they'll kind of try to become that, or maybe you'll start associating them with those qualities. in a job interview, that could work in your favor. So just go ahead and ask, like, I especially love phrasing it as, in your experience, what is the difference between a good software engineer and an exceptional software engineer in this kind of role? Like, people love it. It's especially when, since subconsciously they have a separate folder in their mind that's like a picture of the best, you know, graphic designer they've ever had work under them, or a picture of the best sales development representative. And again, when they're answering that, they have like little neurons going off in their head, like, oh, have I found my match? So you want them to verbalize all that.
Yeah. It's a great question, and a really simple question to ask too. So next question, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail with all of these. We're going to rapid fire a lot of them. But again, just like you asked the hiring manager, ask again, why is this role open? What do you hope to, what do you hope for this hire to accomplish for you and the team? And I'll just give you the basic information that you need to understand.
Yeah, because it's actually beyond the job description. Like, the job description is listing responsibilities. But if you say, like, what are you hoping for this hire to do for you and your team? It's like, they might say, we honestly have had a very difficult time keeping up with the reporting needs our clients demand. We're hoping that this, whatever it is, functional expert gives us greater capacity to clean up operations so that we could, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whoa, that wasn't on the job description. And again, they already start subconsciously feeling relief because they're like, wait, are you going to solve our problems? Wait, this person actually wanted to know? That's awesome. That's an encouraging sign. This isn't just going to be like a seat warmer or somebody who just like clocks in, clocks out, doesn't care.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. And the next question, 6 months from now, how will you and the team know you made the right hire for this position? Another question, from what I've learned about the company culture, it seems that there's a strong value for insert company values. Can you share some examples of how that shows up concretely in your day to day? Very important if you are really looking for those company values as well, but then it's also important to show that you've done your research. Two more questions in this category. The first being, looking at the team goals for the next 12 months, what strengths do you see they already possess that will get them there? And what might the challenges or needs be? That'll get you a lot of good information. Mm-hmm. And then, what do you believe someone has to love? And what do you think someone has to have a tolerance for to be a great fit for this role and team? I love this question as well, because understanding what you need to have a tolerance for will be very telling for even if you even want this job.
Yeah. And that manager may have had a person in that role before that, you know, they were good at some things, but they just weren't the kind of personality type that could handle XYZ very common challenge to this role. And they're wanting to make sure that, or they would be very, very grateful to see that you care, to be asking questions that show that you are trying to make sure you're a fit for the long haul. And so maybe that would subliminally like help their relieve their anxiety about turnover or having a failed hire.
And those are all your questions for the basic information category.
And all category of these, like, we're kind of just phrasing in different ways. We, of course, are not saying ask all of them. Likely, what do you think, Audrey? I'm thinking like two, maybe three questions at the end might be what you're able to get to. And then unless it's like a casual interview with just like a founder that's already described the interview or the vision for their startup, and they're kind of like, I want you to grill me on like all the details of the role to see if our visions are aligned. But that's more of a rare situation, and not most interviews are that way. So I would say two, maybe three at the end. And if you're able to squeeze more questions in the middle to make it more consultative in a two-way conversation, then you might be able to fit two more, like one tacked on towards the end of a question earlier on in the interview or your response to one of their questions, and then another one kind of like three quarters of the way through. And then once it's like full on, the floor is yours. The talking stick is yours, maybe two or three. So obviously pick your favorite. These are similar questions. You could pick the ones that vibe with your personality the most.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of different ways to ask kind of the same big ideas. Okay. So if you're looking for information, which you should be looking for information, if you're, especially if you're further along in the interview process, information that will help you with future interviews, or I was thinking more presentations with that. I mean, you should always be looking for information that's going to help you with future interviews. This is the category where we're going to dive into that. And I think I have six questions here. So first one, what do you foresee as the biggest challenges someone in this role would face in the next 12 months? What are some of the biggest challenges your company or this team is facing? Period. Don't have the period. question mark. What has been done to try to resolve or address these challenges so far? What's worked and what hasn't? If you were to hire me, what would your expectations of me be within the first 30, 60, 90 days? And what upcoming team projects or initiatives are you especially excited about? That's a good one. I like that last one.
So whether or not you are invited into a final round interview that has a skills test associated with it, or you just decide to, this is what we'll suggest in our grand finale episode, just say, hey, I really heard out your ideas or the challenges that you mentioned. I did some more research and thinking on it, and I wanted to propose these quick five things that I might explore if I were in the role, opportunities that we could take advantage of. And if you send that along in like a little presentation, which you could have gamma.ai generate beautifully for you. I'm such a fan of that tool. Like I'm an ambassador for it. I have seen that give people the role. Like if they had been, told to wait for, like they hadn't heard anything for a week. And they're kind of like, what's happening? I want to make sure that I'm the winning candidate. I'm like, send them a presentation with your ideas. And it makes them swoon. So yeah, these are also questions that can help you learn what to put into it or get some ideas. Back to you. Sorry for my aside.
No, that's good. I wanted to add that doing a 30, 60, 90 is something I've seen and something I actually experienced too. So understanding, asking that question, the expectations of me within the first 30, 60, 90 days is really good to give you information to put together one of those presentations. And it's not always in the interview process. Sometimes they have you put that together in after you're hired. So, okay, the next category is management style. And we have four questions here. So we're almost at the end of the list. First question, I know every manager has a different way they like to oversee their teams. Stating a fact, what practices have you put in place to empower and support this team? That's going to show real quick if they're a manager who cares about their team or not, to put it bluntly. Okay, next question. Can you tell me about the last time you onboarded someone to this team and your approach to setting them up for success? When was the last time a member of your team proposed a new idea and you let them run with it? This is something I'm hearing this so much from people right now, being really frustrated that they don't get to run with their own ideas in their current job. So if that's something that's important to you, this is a great question to ask. And then lastly, what initiatives are in place that you're most confident in and which ones are you reconsidering? Hard hitting one.
I like all of those. Yeah. Audrey, I think that's all our questions, right?
I actually am looking at my notes right now and I'm seeing that I actually had notes for questions to ask your potential peers as well.
Let's throw that in there.
A little bonus. So I have two questions here. And first one is, what's the difference between working here and anywhere else that you've worked? And then also in your background, I see that you were at blank. What is it about this current company that has persuaded you to make the leap or to make the jump to this job? And obviously you just get that information from looking at their LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly. If you have the luxury of time and choice, I always think it's really good to go ahead and proactively reach out for informational interviews with people who may be your peers, like Audrey is saying, in your this position that you're applying for, especially if you have been scarred in the past, this is the best way to find out if the company is really good or not as mm-hmm. an experience for the employees.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a story pop into my head actually about a past interview experience, which I shared a story last week as well. Might as well throw one in here. And I ended up working for this company, but in my interview, I get on the phone with the interviewer, and he goes, first thing he says is, okay, so I assume you looked at my LinkedIn, tell me something that you learned about it or learned from it. And obviously I immediately pulled up his LinkedIn. I was also in college. So this was for my first job after college. Pulled up his LinkedIn. I read the first thing, or I pulled up a screenshot actually I had taken of it. And he goes, okay, great. Now tell me something without reading directly from it.
Oh my gosh, wait. So you just paused to pull it up?
I had the screenshot on my phone because I had reviewed it, and I screenshotted it because, so he couldn't see that I was going back to his profile. But this is just a side note. Do your research before the interview and memorize something, internalize something from their LinkedIn. Don't memorize it because they'll call you out on it. Yeah. If you just memorize it.
Yeah, even if it was like, why did you choose mechanical engineering at Indiana University? Or like, well, I know you live in Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a loser move. Don't take my advice. I'm just I get insecure, I use humor. It's not always the best.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you that you got that job.
Yeah, that was crazy. How I ended up handling it after he told me, you know, tell me something without reading directly from it. I actually told him, oh, you know, well, we originally had this interview scheduled for a couple weeks ago, so that's when I reviewed your LinkedIn, and I haven't had an opportunity to go back since then. I'm not giving this advice that you should say that, but I got feedback later that he really liked that because I was honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, because at first I was like, oh my gosh, was that like not good enough for him? Or something, but I think I've heard from a lot of friends that are currently in the position of hiring that they'll try to get the candidate to come to the end of their knowledge so they could see if they just try to bullcrap or if they're just like, I don't have the answer for that right now. I'm happy to look it up immediately after the interview and send you what I find. Just say something like that. You could also just say, I don't know, if you're like truly blanking, but you know, try to smooth it over a little bit. And they actually are looking for the kind of people who say that, because especially if it's a technical interview question, there's just really no point in like trying to BS your way through it, because they are in a position to be the technical expert most likely, and they'll see through any of your like schmoozing. So they really want to, obviously so much of professional life is handling one Google session at a time. So it's not a big deal if you're just like, oh, I would go back to, you know, this resource and handle it there. But I don't know right now.
Yeah. Some bonus tips for you, but Kelsey, question for you. Asking questions, you know, we talked about how important it is to do it not just at the end and saving everything for the end. So how would you suggest kind of having that more consulting, what would the word be? Narrative throughout it all, or composure throughout it?
Thank you for asking this question. I'm very passionate about the difference, knowing the difference and instructing people on the difference between going into an interview like a job seeker versus a consultant. A consultant gathers information to identify the core problem and then presents a solution as a result of their understanding. A job seeker is simply answering their questions for historical information on yours truly. You know, all you do is talking about yourself. And the difference is huge. A candidate that goes in and says, I'm going to be a little investigator, a consultant that knows this isn't just a marketing manager role. This is a need that they have to solve a problem for a lack of leads or some other thing. I'm not quite sure, but it's some problem that they are hiring me to solve. I am going to not reserve all my questions at the end. I am going to let them lead to be respectful. So let them ask the first one or two questions, maybe three. And then as I respond, I'm going to roll my response into a closure of my response and then say, and what about that is important to you? Like, what's the difference between a good marketing manager versus a great hiring marketing manager? Since I'm assuming you've worked with multiple in your tenure at, you know, X company, because I saw you've been here for 8 years. What a batty question. I was inspired by your LinkedIn thing.
Yeah.
And so then they'll give you a little context. Guess what? For the remaining, let's call it 20, 30, 45 minutes of that interview, you just had them spoon feed all of the, some significant answers that they want to hear in your responses. So you could literally just mirror back to them and ground your answers in, yeah, so here's my experience in this that I have leveraged to these ends. Like, these are the results that I got, which obviously is applicable to what we would be working on in the XYZ project you talked about. And even just adding little snippets like that adds a lot more power to your answers than the average job seeker that isn't describing things very contextually. They're just saying, yeah, I'm just talking about me and what I did at these other companies that aren't yours. And I hope you could connect the dots. A consultant is never asking the client to connect the dots. They are connecting the dots for the client so they could win the work. And so is there anything else you'd like to add, or did I describe that okay?
No, that was good. I was following along with the connecting the dots, and in my mind I was like, I bet she's going to say connect the dots right now.
Oh my gosh. Like, thank you for your honest answer.
Like, that'd be the perfect thing for her to say. She's going to say it? Yes. Because it's true. Yeah, when it's more robotic and they ask you a question, you give them the answer, you're not, it's not so much providing a narrative of, narrative isn't the right word, but.
You're not providing it in their context.
It's transactional. Transactional is what I was looking for, yeah. Rather than it being a transformational conversation, perhaps.
Plus, what a stance, right? Like, to ask questions, because you're like, oh, I have something that I want to know about you, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more of that lean forward triangle hand pose energy in an interview rather than like, I hope you like me. So
yeah.
That's another reason I really love going in as a consultant rather than thinking of just of myself as a job seeker. That's all that we have for you today. I hope that you loved this. Stick around until next week so we could tell you about that little major deal closer trick that we use with Gamma AI and Know Your Stuff presentations. Talk to you soon.
Whee! Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. To get an even more meaningful head start into your calling, head to thecalledcareer.com, where my fellow career coach Audrey and I have created a whole suite of free resources and tools to help you get clear and get a job today. For those who are definitely ready to land a job or start a business in the next 6 to 12 months, we're here to help you biblically and practically discern your calling through coaching, reflection, and deep market research, identify the job that's aligned with it, even if you currently have no idea what you want, rebrand your resume and LinkedIn to translate your background to appeal to your future boss. P.S. We take this off your plate and do this for you. Also, we'll teach you how to land referrals and get attention from leadership through networking. Again, if that makes you nervous, we have these emails and LinkedIn messages literally written for you so you don't have to sweat. We're also here to give you unlimited interview practice so you're prepared to address every elephant in the room and knock selling yourself out of the park. Then we'll round out with helping you negotiate your salary so you land thousands more. Just so you know, recent clients have gotten $8,000 to $50,000 salary increases, even though they were totally non-traditional candidates. That's because we specialize in helping non-traditional career pivoters land jobs they're ecstatic to serve in. It takes work, but we're here to see you through until the end, when we're celebrating that day that you send me an email in all caps and you say, "Kelsey, I got the job." Then you could be on the podcast. But I'll be here until then, keeping you accountable and encouraged by meeting with you literally until you land the job you want, even if that's up to 6 months from now within our program. Apply to join at thecalledcareer.com, and I'll see you next week here at Answer the Call. Bye for now.